Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is in Moscow today, meeting with his foreign counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, and the meeting is not going terribly well. A spring chill has settled on this first visit by a Trump cabinet official. And following last week's Trump missile attack against the Assad regime in Syria, retaliating against the chemical attack in Idlib, Russia says it will veto a UN Security Council resolution on the Syrian chemical weapons attack. Here is the Secretary of State at the conclusion of the G7 meetings in Italy on Tuesday.
I hope that what the Russian government concludes is that they have aligned themselves with an unreliable partner in Bashar al-Assad. They had signed the chemical weapons accord themselves, the Syrian government. The Russian government had signed that accord. And now Assad has made the Russians look not so good.
Also on Tuesday, the White House made it known in a declassified report that it believes that the Russian government participated in a cover-up of this chemical attack. Admiral Mike Mullen served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 2007 to 2011 under Presidents Bush and Obama. He joins me now. Admiral, welcome.
Hi, John. Good to be with you.
I'll give you one shot at this. You care to talk about the comparison of Assad to Hitler that Sean Spicer made yesterday?
No, I don't. I'll pass.
Okay, you pass. I'm so shocked by that. Let's talk about the challenges for Rex Tillerson trying to be a critic of Russia and also maintain his credibility. He's someone who's had a longstanding relationship with the Russians from his corporate activity prior to being Secretary of State.
Well, I mean, John, one of the things that I've believed in for some time is we need a relationship with Russia. We certainly don't need to be friends, but from an international geopolitical point of view, we do need that relationship. And so I would hope that the Secretary's previous relationship with Russia would be foundational in his ability to make a connection to get after some of these really, really difficult problems. And obviously, he's in Moscow today discussing the specifics of what those are.
General McMaster has said that the dual mission of U.S. policy in Syria is to defeat ISIS and remove Bashar al-Assad from power. You experienced the difficulty of maintaining a mission like that. Is it doable? Do you support that? Is it a continuation of what you experienced under Presidents Obama and Bush?
So I think the ISIS piece is doable. We've seen them certainly in the last couple of years lose an awful lot of geography specifically and momentum in that regard. That said, they're still a very, very tenacious, lethal threat and ideological threat that we're going to continue to have to deal with. With respect to Assad, I'm just someone that maybe it's just the empirical evidence over the last several years. I'm not a big fan of regime change, of affecting regime change. I do think over time that Assad doesn't have a future in Syria. And how that happens and when that happens, and I don't think it'll be immediately, I think is yet to be determined. But I think using all the forces, including military force, to try to affect that, I think that would get us into more of a quagmire than I think we should.
Well, then, if you want to back me out of this road that I'm going to go down, feel free to do so. But a lot of your colleagues expressed real concern and fear about some of the loose talk coming from candidate Trump regarding the use of tactical nuclear weapons in some context. When you heard this discussion of get rid of Assad and regime change resurrected and the firing of the cruise missiles, did you revisit some of that rhetoric and wonder if indeed that was possibly an option that Donald Trump was asking his military leaders about? Can we do this?
I hadn't really thought about that. I certainly remember the campaign rhetoric. I mean, I'm certainly am one that willing to give a new president enough room and time to deal with the reality of the job. I certainly watched that with a new president, with President Obama, and governing is a whole lot different than campaigning. I'm also encouraged by the people the president has around him. I know Secretary Mattis well. I know General Kelly, General McMaster. And so I think he will be well advised by them in those realities. And certainly I would expect that that advice would and counsel would be not to reach for those kinds of weapons.
you know, you have no knowledge of anything, but so if that issue came up, that's what you assume and have very good reason to believe the president would have been told by your colleagues.
You mean if the nuclear weapon issue came up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm not involved, so
right.
I don't know for
right.
sure. But I would be stunned if Secretary Mattis didn't counsel in the fashion that I just described.
Let's talk about the initiative regarding North Korea, the movement of naval vessels.
Right.
Do you think that's appropriate? Do you think that escalates the situation? What would you advise? We've just had a summit on, between Trump and China that went in a very unexpected way because sure. of the cruise missile attack. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it was calculated per se, but I think the timing of the cruise missile attack while President Xi was here sent a very strong message, not just to Assad and to Putin, but also to Xi Jinping, that clearly this is a president who will, when he believes it's right, use military force. I heard this morning in the media that President Xi actually issued a statement, or China issued a statement, indicating that they would be willing to try to work to denuclearize that peninsula. So I'm encouraged by that feedback, if you will. This is another very, very complex issue, but it's very clear that this young leader, who's a very lethal guy, has a lethal legacy to uphold in his family. He's unpredictable, dangerous, and he has nuclear weapons. And by every indication, he's going to put one on top of an ICBM. And I just don't think we can allow us to get to a point, or allow him to get to a point, where he could actually hit the continental United States with a nuclear weapon, because he is really, really unpredictable. And of those that are out there in the world, he's one that I believe could well pull that trigger. So I think he's got to be stopped ahead of time. Hopefully, the diplomacy, the talks, the engagements, the pressure from Beijing, and I think Beijing has to lead this effort. They've been reluctant in the past, but it's getting much more serious. Hopefully that engagement will get us to a position where that nuclear outcome would not be possible. Clearly, and I think the administration has said, while there are military options out there, they're currently, quote-unquote, on the back burner. And part of that is, I think, the show of force that you see with the Vinson battle group, the aircraft carrier battle group right now. All of that, I think, is sending pretty strong signals that we're very serious about the elimination of nuclear weapons on that peninsula.
So I'm hearing, and this seems really quite positive as someone who tries each day to figure out, you know, what's going on from Washington, D.C., that, you know, if you were down in Mar-a-Lago last weekend with Xi Jinping there and understood the realities of the Middle East situation, you would have advised President Trump to launch those cruise missiles, knowing that it would send a message to both Xi Jinping and Bashar al-Assad, and that, you know, we would be moving towards a number of goals simultaneously.
Well, I think the cruise missile strike actually happened pretty quickly. And as I said before, it was more coincidental than planned. But certainly, I think it sends a very, very strong message. And I know the administration has been working very deliberately through Korean options, if you will, that General McMaster has got the national security team focused on this. And they have a very, very regular battle rhythm, if you will, to look at what the options are to make recommendations to the president. So there is, it goes back to, I mean, it made me think a little bit about the comprehensive aspect of it. This is a new team. I mean, they're just getting their feet under themselves. And so they're at a point where they're now starting to be more deliberate in what they're doing. They understand certainly the threats that are out there, these two being front and center. So I'm actually encouraged by how it's being approached at this point.
Admiral Mike Mullen served as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 2007 to 2011 under Presidents Bush and Obama.